In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, November 13th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The stories of 13 Christians who did not compromise their love for Jesus Christ are now part of Family Research Council President Tony Perkins' new book, No Fear, Real Stories of a Courageous New Generation Standing for Truth, tells the stories of Aaron and Melissa Klein, Lila Rose, pro-life advocate Miriam Ibrahim, a Christian mother arrested in Sudan for apostasy, Rebecca Richardson, a cheerleader in Texas, Jason and David Benham, and other young people who have been faced with the challenge to deny their faith and have stood strong. Matthew 10:32 commends their courage. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. The Benham brothers gave a rousing reminder to Christians that if you know the truth, it will set you free at the 2015 National Religious Liberties Conference in Des Moines, Iowa.
This is what God is telling us today, is that He wants us to turn and face our fear. Look, the title of this conference is awesome. Freedom. Because we serve a God who says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
On Thursday, a district court of Sweden's Jönköping County ruled against a midwife who was seeking employment at three different medical clinics. The midwife was denied employment because she refused to take part in the abortions. Alliance Defense Fund International is defending the case. Perhaps the Exodus 1:15-17 passage comes to your mind as well. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. Syrian Christian fighters are joining the fight against ISIS and defending the Syrian town of Sadad. The town is an important point of strategy on the highway between ISIS forces and the Syrian capital of Damascus. May Psalm 20, verse 7 be their battle cry. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. She was only 28 and the mother of two children, one still in the womb. Amanda Blackburn, wife of Pastor Davy Blackburn of Resonate Church in Indiana, was shot and killed Tuesday night. She was taken to the hospital, but the Lord chose to take her to her eternal home instead. Pastor Blackburn released a statement on Wednesday. It's impossible to communicate all the emotions my heart has been forced to process. My wife was such a beautiful, gracious, loving woman of God. I have not only lost my ministry partner and support, but also my very best friend. There is no way to prepare yourself for circumstances like these. As deeply as I am hurting, I am hopeful and confident that good things will come of this. New intelligence from the Russian plane crash is confirming suspicions that the plane was indeed sabotaged. Those researching the crash have determined that a two-hour timer was involved. As to whether it references back to an actual timer or intercepted intelligence between terrorist parties, the researchers are not certain. Both scenarios raise the suspicion of an airport insider. On Thursday, 32-year-old former Army Captain Florent Groberg was presented with a Medal of Honor by President Barack Obama, the highest honor possible. Groberg's act of bravery came in August of 2012 when he and another officer, Sergeant Andrew Mahoney, tackled a suicide bomber to the ground right before the bomber's vest exploded. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends." Divorced people in the United Kingdom are now saying that remaining in an imperfect marriage would have been far better than the alternative. In a Christian Headlines article, Peter, a gentleman divorced and remarried at 72, said, "If somebody came to me now, before they'd left their wife, asking what they should do, I think my answer would be to see if you can make it work. In other words, do not do what I did." Kieran Kelly from the Christian Institute in the UK told The Worldview that the world paints a false picture of divorce.
You know, the Bible tells us that we're all selfish people at heart and intent on looking out for ourselves, really. And the language around divorce is, you know, you deserve this. You deserve to do this for yourself. And if you go down this route, it'll make all things better and on others around. So I think it's the culture in which we live is just very open to hearing those kind of messages.
Mark 10:9 says, "What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." A Christian family was surprised when they found their prayer had caught the notice of another customer at Jimmy Eggs in Yukon, Oklahoma. And no, it did not upset the other customer. According to Christian Headlines, the family was about to pay their bill when they were informed that their bill was paid, along with a note from the stranger that read, "Because you prayed, we paid. Continue to raise your sons in Christ. God bless." And that's The Worldview on this Friday, November 13th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Welcome into another edition of Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus in for Kevin Swanson. Today, we'll talk about the coach in Washington State who has been literally suspended, as it turns out, most recently as of October 28th, for daring to pray privately on his own time on the 50-yard line after a football game. And I might add, after the players and the coaches and assistant coaches have all left the field and he's on his own and it lasts for about 15 seconds. Here to clarify it all and to talk about the controversy is Mike Berry, senior counsel with the Liberty Institute, who is representing Coach Kennedy. Tell me about, first of all, a little bit of Joe Kennedy's background. I mean, this is a tough guy, isn't it?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Adam. And yeah, Coach Kennedy, you know, is a retired United States Marine, and he served for 20 years. He's actually a combat veteran of Desert Storm, Desert Shield. And to say he's a tough guy is certainly an understatement. He grew up in the Bremerton, Washington area, which is kind of known as a hardworking, blue-collar type of community to the west of Seattle. And but, you know, after his Marine Corps career was over and he retired, he felt like he wanted to work with some of the kids there at Bremerton High School, maybe to give back a little bit of his own time, and he began coaching football because that's something he's passionate about. And before the very first game he ever coached back in 2008, he basically made a commitment to God that he was going to give God the glory for what he was privileged to do as a football coach. And to do that, he was just going to do one simple gesture, and that was at the end of the game, he was going to take a knee, bow his head, and just quietly and quickly give a prayer of thanksgiving for the opportunity to coach these kids, to be a mentor and a positive influence in their lives, for just the opportunity he had to do that. And then also, obviously, for their safety, their well-being. You know, if a player was injured, he would ask that they recover quickly and fully and that type of stuff.
I was intrigued to learn that he was inspired in part by his viewing Facing the Giants.
That's right. That's right. The film Facing the Giants is really what inspired him to do this. He saw that movie, and in Coach Kennedy's own words, he said it was like a punch in the gut, you know, that was telling him, you need to take seriously this job of coaching these kids, because this is a privilege that you've been given that not everybody has. And you have an opportunity to shape them, mold them, mentor them. And so this is a great responsibility and an obligation that you have.
I touched on it at the very beginning of the program, Mike Berry, but I want you to amplify on this. He is not inviting students, whether they be football players or non-football players, to join him on the 50-yard line after the game is over to pray with him. He is just personally kneeling, praying for literally 15 to 30 seconds, not even praying to Jesus by name or God Almighty by name or the God of the Old and New Testament by name. He doesn't even say the word amen. It is a fairly innocuous prayer, but one that he contends, and Liberty Institute contends, is done on his own time after his coaching duties have concluded, and one that, while it is audible, it's not over the speaker system, as it were, it's just at the 50-yard line for 20 seconds after the game has concluded, and by and large, most of the players and students have abandoned the field altogether.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The first point that's very important, and the school district has already conceded this in their correspondence with us. They admit that, in their investigation, in the course of investigating this, they have no evidence that any student was ever required or persuaded or coerced to participate in what Coach Kennedy does after the game. So they already admit there's no issue with, required participation or coerced participation or anything like that. So we can just get rid of that as an issue. And then secondly, as you pointed out, this is really the equivalent, practically speaking, of a moment of silence. And that's really all we're asking for here, is for the school district to allow Coach Kennedy to observe this moment of silence. And if he chooses to do so because of his own faith, if he chooses to offer a prayer of thanksgiving, which is what he does, then that should be his choice to do so. The school district should not be putting themselves in a position to dictate or censor what he is or is not allowed to say or think during a moment of silence.
I was intrigued by the school's letter dated, October 28th, in which they say that he has not been held to task for his prayer at the 50-yard line after the football game has long concluded because they were not aware of it, and they weren't made aware until an employee of another district mentioned the post-game prayer. So it's not as if, there was great consternation at this particular high school, Bremerton High School in Washington State, lots of machinations and controversy over what Coach Joe Kennedy is or is not doing at the 50-yard line long after everyone has left the field.
Well, quite the contrary. Not only were there not any complaints, it's actually all precipitated as a result of a compliment. It was that administrator from another school district who saw what was happening and was so impressed that these kids who'd just been duking it out for 48 minutes on the gridiron and perhaps were bitter rivals, from rival high schools or from rival towns, and were duking it out on the gridiron for 48 minutes, were now suddenly so willing to come together in unison and with a sense of community. And he was so impressed by that, he went to the principal of Remerton High School and said, "Man, I don't know what you guys are doing here, but this is awesome." And the principal of Remerton High School kind of scratched his head and said, wait a minute, we need to look into that and see if that's legal or not. And that's really what started this, which is pretty outrageous. It just goes to show the old saying that no good deed goes unpunished.
You can learn a lot more about the case and join a petition online in favor of Coach Joe Kennedy and even contribute financially to the case at libertyinstitute.org. It's one of the major cases they're battling right now, libertyinstitute.org. In this October 28th letter from the school district, it says, "It is very likely that over the years, players have joined in these activities because to do otherwise would mean potentially alienating themselves from their team and possibly their coaches. The district has a fundamental obligation to protect the rights of all of its students." So they're saying basically that there are Bremerton High School football players in particular who apparently feel obligated and won't be treated fairly by Coach Joe Kennedy if they don't join him at the 50-yard line listening to his prayer, even though he has never invited them to, and even though several games into his first doing this, they simply asked him what he was doing. They said, "Could we join you?" He said, "Look, it's a free country. If you want to join me, that's up to you."
That's exactly right. There's two points to respond to that. Number one is, as you alluded to, Coach Kennedy, from the very beginning, never invited or even necessarily cared whether students chose to congregate near him as he did his thing at the 50, which is the way one of the former students, one of the former football players, is quoted in the media saying, look, this is, you know, when I was a football player at Bremerton, I remember Coach Kennedy doing this, and there weren't always, you know, people who joined him. It was just Coach Kennedy doing his thing at the 50. And so there's certainly evidence that students have always felt, have always been free to either join him or not join him. And secondly, what I want to know is what is Bremerton School District's commitment to protecting Coach Kennedy's rights as well? He's one of their employees, and their policy, their written policy, as it's stated, actually can be very, you know, clearly interpreted as saying our employees are not allowed to have any visible religious expression. And in fact, it goes so far as to say if students happen to be the ones that initiate a prayer after the football game, and Coach Kennedy or any of the other employees of Bremerton School District happens to observe the students praying, they must basically not be physically present. They have to vacate the scene and get out of there, basically, because, they don't want to have a situation where a public school district employee would happen to be standing in the vicinity of students who happen to be praying, which is just ridiculous. That's outrageous. It just leads to these absurd situations and scenarios where now you've got these, you know, school teachers who have to be worried that, well, what if I turn the corner in the hallway and the student happens to be praying? I mean, now, do I have to turn around and walk the other way now because, you know, I can't be seen standing next to him? And this ban on visible religious expression, I'm very curious to know what the Jewish employees of the school district think about whether they're not allowed or not to wear a yarmulke.
Mm-hmm.
Or does this apply to a Muslim teacher who's not allowed to wear a hijab now?
I love what Hiram Sasser said in the letter that he sent to the Bremerton School District dated October 14th. Again, Hiram Sasser with the Liberty Institute. He cited the Tinker versus Des Moines Independent Community School District, a case dating back to 1969 in which the ruling indicated it can hardly be argued that either students or teachers shed their constitutional rights to freedom of speech or expression at the schoolhouse gate. I want to bring folks, Mike Berry, up to speed on all of this. What is so shocking is the latest development, as you have reported at libertyinstitute.org, and I would urge the Generations Radio listeners to check it out. They have actually suspended Coach Joe Kennedy with pay and have prohibited him from participating in any football activity from this point forward, most recently from even being a part of the final varsity football game of the season.
Yeah, that's the part of this that really kind of adds the injury to the insult. To tell him he's not allowed to do this is one thing, but to ban him from any participation with the football team really was a harmful blow to Coach Kennedy, because he's invested so many years and so much time and energy into these kids, and the night that they issued this ban on him having any further participation with the football program was the eve of the senior night, the last game of the season, of the regular season, where for many of these kids, especially for the seniors, this quite likely will be the last time they ever play football at a competitive level in their lives. And Coach has been there from day one for these kids of their high school careers. And so he's really been, you know, a part of their lives for the last 4 years of helping them to develop as football players, but also as young men who are about to really move on into adulthood. And so to be basically told he can't participate in that was very hurtful to him. To have to watch from the sidelines like a, you know, just like he was a spectator, and to not be out there, as he says, with my guys. You know, it's a very emotional game for him. I was there with Coach Kennedy at that game, and it was very hard for him to watch that, because he had to watch from you know, outside the field. He was on the other side of the fence, sitting in the stands like a spectator. But one of the neat things is that when the game was over, the football players came up to Coach Kennedy, and you could instantly tell this is not just them kind of showing their respect to their one of their coaches. This was a coach that they loved, because, you know, the normal coach, they might walk up and say, "Hey, coach," and shake his hand or high five him or something. These were full on, you know, body embraces where they were giving him a man hug, and you could hear them saying to him, "We love you, coach. We're with you. We support you." And of course, they don't have to do that.
Even when he was first asked about why he was praying or what he was praying about on the 50-yard line, when it first came to the attention of some of the Bremerton High School football players back in 2008, 2009, he had a very simple statement. "I was thanking God for you guys." And it's relationship between coach and student that just transcends the entire government school arena and reveals exactly the heart of every teacher that should come from within. This is the kind of synergy that every government school classroom and government school administrator should yearn for.
Well, here's something that any of our listeners who've ever served in the military, or any of our listeners who have ever played competitive sports, will understand this intuitively. Coach Kennedy, as a U.S. Marine, right, served for 20 years, so he progressed up the ranks. And when you have been in that long, and you've reached that level of seniority, you have this obligation. And not only an obligation, but an instinct that just becomes part of who you are to look after your Marines, to look after your troops. And there's a bond between the senior Marine and the junior Marine. It's just, you can't quantify it. You can't even explain it or describe it. You sense it. That's really all it is. You feel it. It's part of who you are. And it's the same thing when you've got a good football coach with his players. You know, there's some bad football coaches out there, but Coach Kennedy's one of the good ones, and he just has this unspoken bond with the players that was very palpable and very visible. You could just see it instantly, where he was one of those coaches that the players immediately knew, this is a coach who cares about me beyond the football field.
Mike Berry is my guest, senior counsel for the Liberty Institute. Learn more at libertyinstitute.org. I'm Adam McManus, and for Kevin Swanson on this edition of Generations Radio, inviting your emails for feedback at talkradioadam@gmail.com. That's talkradioadam@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
The mark of a good father, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:11, is that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He would not give his child a stone or a serpent. He would give him that which is nutritious and helpful. Now, Christian parents, if you're like me, you are constantly on the search for good gifts for your children. You're probably tired of cheap China junk and expensive toys that break within a month or two. That's why the Generation staff has spent the last 6 months scouring magazines, checking out samples, interviewing Christian parents, and identifying the very best books for our children. We look for creative presentation, substantive messages, biblical integrity, identifiable characters, and riveting stories. We have sponsored a child picture book contest called Nurturing Little Hearts, and we begin to publish the very best of children's books over the next year or two. But find good gifts for your children. That's a really good thing. We have an entire new section of children's book selections at our website for good gifts that you can get for your kids. Find it at generationswithvision.com. That's generationswithvision.com.
Continuing now with my guest, Mike Berry, Senior Counsel for the Liberty Institute, as they represent Coach Joe Kennedy, the Bremerton High School football coach in Washington State, who dared to, on his own time, pray for about 30 seconds at the 50-yard line long after students and football players had vacated the field after the particular football game was over, and has been doing such since 2008, only been brought to the attention of the administration this very year, 2015. Now he's on paid administrative leave, told he's no longer welcome to participate in the Bremerton High School football program at all unless he makes some kind of commitment not to continue this practice. They have offered, for example, Mike Berry, the option for him to pray in some office somewhere before the game or after the game, to pray in other locales. Why has he dug in his heels and said, no, I'm going to pray on the 50-yard line come what may?
Well, that all relates back to the really Liberty Institute when we began representing Coach Kennedy. Our initial response was to simply ask for a religious accommodation, to say, look, if this is your policy, if you don't allow religious expression by your employees, then can we get an accommodation from that? And we're willing to take reasonable steps to ensure that, you know, everybody knows that this is Coach Kennedy's private activity. This is not Bremerton School District endorsing this in any way or speaking through Coach Kennedy. And so really all we're asking for is simply to allow him to observe this brief moment of silence of, you know, and where he can take a knee and bow his head for about 15 to 20 seconds after the game is over. You know, the clock's hit zero, the referee's blown the final whistle, and the students that have left the field. And the school district said no, you know, and just like you pointed out, they said no. What we'll do is we'll give you like a private room where nobody can see you. And they came to Coach Kennedy and us with that. And Coach Kennedy was, I mean, it was actually quite insulting, because really what they've in essence said is you can have your religious freedom as long as you're willing to hide it. And Coach Kennedy said, I don't understand why I'm supposed to hide my faith and who I am as if it's something to be ashamed of. You know, and in this country, as our listeners are probably very well aware, over the last several years, we've been hearing a lot of talk about, you know, we should celebrate our differences, and people should feel free to be who they are in public and not have to hide or be ashamed or hide in the closet.
Just ask Bruce Jenner.
And we want to recognize people's true selves publicly. And Coach Kennedy is saying, well, that's all I'm asking for too, is just to simply be who I am, and to do so, you know, if it happens to be in front of other people, then so be it.
I'm not asking to dress and drag. I'm just asking to pray on my knee for 15 seconds at the 50-yard line long after people have gone. Please. Well,
that's right.
In this letter dated October 14th from Hiram Sasser of the Liberty Institute to the Bremerton School District, he writes, the First Amendment forbids religious activity that is sponsored by the government, but protects religious activity that is initiated by individuals acting privately, as is the case with Coach Joe Kennedy. As the Supreme Court explained in several cases, there is a crucial difference between government speech endorsing religion, which the Establishment Clause forbids, and private speech endorsing religion, which the Free Speech and Free Exercise Clauses protect, as he cites the Board of Education versus Mergen's ruling of 1990. Boy, if that doesn't clarify things, I don't know what more the Bremerton School District needs.
Well, I think what they need is an education on, I mean, no pun intended, on the fundamentals of the Constitution and how they apply to public employees. And as you pointed out as well with the Tinker versus Des Moines decision, you know, public employees, public school district teachers do not shed their constitutional rights simply because they are school district employees. And one of the other things that the school district, Bremerton School District, has done here, which is to say, when we ask, what about a moment of silence? And they've come out and said, no, we think a moment of silence is also unconstitutional.
Oh.
And that's ridiculous. You know, here in Texas, we had a case involving the Texas state legislature passed a law that mandated a moment of silence in our schools during the school day. So you have a state law that says you must have a moment of silence, and it's during the school day. Now, whatever the student does during the moment of silence is totally up to the student, but nevertheless, you're going to have a moment of silence. And this went all the way to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, the federal appeals court, and they said, no, this is constitutional. This is fine. So contrast that with what Bremerton School District is saying, which is a moment of silence not during the school day that is optional, not mandatory, like it was in the Texas case, and they're saying that's unconstitutional. So, if that doesn't demonstrate how far out, you know, in left field, or not even in the field of play, if you will, the Bremerton School District is, I mean, I don't know how much more clear to make it.
Well, the one thing that the school district says in all of the materials that I've read is that they disagree with Coach Joe Kennedy initiating prayer with students. And yet he maintains, and Liberty Institute maintains over and over again, he is not initiating prayer with students. He is praying on his own. And if students want to show up where he's praying, that's on them.
That's right. And they've kind of engaged in a little bit of double talk there, because they've now since acknowledged, okay, so there's no problem with coercion, right? We've never found any evidence that students are required to participate. And we're like, great, then let him pray on his own. And they're saying, well, no, we can't have that either, because we don't want people to see that happening in public and think that government speaks.
Oh, heaven forbid. But the whole fear is that no one wants to see the government establish religion. And this whole notion that even if he were to pray in Jesus' name, even if he were to say amen, even if he were to invite the students, again, long after the game is over, to join him, this is not the establishment of religion. It's just one Bible-believing Christian who happens to be a teacher participating in freedom of religion and inviting other Bible-believing Christians who happen to be students to join him. I mean, even if it were the worst of the worst in the mind's eye of the Bremerton School District, is that a problem?
No, and in fact, as you pointed out, it's not only not the establishment of religion, it's actually permitting the free exercise thereof, which is the other part of the First Amendment that the school district seems to be ignoring here. And in fact, the Supreme Court has said that under its Establishment Clause cases, it's not simply that the government may not establish religion, and that would be a violation of the Establishment Clause. The other side of that coin is that the government may also may not exhibit hostility towards religion. That's also an Establishment Clause violation. The government is simply to remain neutral. And I think that's what's getting confused here, is that Bremerton School District, like so many other governmental entities across our country, seems to fundamentally misunderstand what the definition of neutrality means. Neutrality does not mean that you eradicate and whitewash religion from public spaces. Neutrality means you just get out of the way.
Right.
As Chief Justice Roberts famously said during his confirmation hearing, the role of the courts in terms of, you know, speaking about being neutral, right, is not to pick winners and losers. It's simply to call balls and strikes. Well, similarly, the role of the government is not to pick winners and losers in terms of religious exercise and religious expression. It's simply you just get out of the way. And you neither endorse it or establish it, nor do you show any hostility towards it.
Mike Berry is my guest. He is the senior counsel for the Liberty Institute based in Plano, Texas, a national group defending our religious liberties. I hope you'll consider even going to their website, libertyinstitute.org, and considering making a donation to even help with the ongoing case involving Coach Joe Kennedy in Bremerton, Washington. Hiram Sasser, One of your colleagues at the Liberty Institute on October 14th sent a letter to the Bremerton School District in which he compared and contrasted the case involving Coach Joe Kennedy with the case of Whig versus Sioux Falls School District. And this is dated back to 2004. Interestingly, in this case, there was an elementary government school teacher who participated in an explicitly Christian proselytizing after-school program, and yet ultimately the Supreme Court said that was fine. Compare that with Coach Joe Kennedy, who is not proselytizing, is actually participating in private personal prayer, and it's not in the classroom after school, it's in a football stadium. So there seems to be a major disconnect here. If the Bremerton School District is to be taken seriously, they are either purposely ignorant or they're overly intimidated by the Freedom from Religion Foundation, or they're just hostile to Christianity, or all the above.
You know, I think you hit it right on the head when you said disconnect. I mean, there's just, either they didn't read the letter that we submitted that explains the law, or they choose not to. They choose to ignore it. And we pointed out another case that arose out of the Ninth Circuit, which would include the state of Washington. So Bremerton School District would be subject to the Ninth Circuit's rulings. And the Ninth Circuit, which anybody who follows the law would, legal issues would know that is considered by most people the most liberal, progressive circuit, in our federal courts. And there was a case that arose out of Scottsdale, Arizona, and the issue there was similarly to here. It was a student who was giving a speech, and they said, "Well, we can't allow any religious speech because people might think that it's a government speaker. It's a government speech because they're speaking at a school event, it's a school sponsored event, so we can't allow it." And it went up to the Ninth Circuit, and the Ninth Circuit had this great line where they said, "Look, all you have to do is give a disclaimer to say it's not government speech."
Yeah, simple.
Right. Just like here with Coach Kennedy, right? Just say, look, it's not Bremerton School District praying. It's Coach Kennedy doing it in his own private capacity. And in the Ninth Circuit case, so the school said, but we're worried that people won't understand that. And the court said, look, if students can't understand the difference between government speech and private speech, one wonders if they can be taught anything at all.
I love that. One final point. Not only does the Liberty Institute claim that Coach Joe Kennedy in Bremerton, Washington, has the ability legally to pray, kneel down at the 50-yard line after the students and players are long gone for about 20 seconds, backed by the First Amendment, but also, and address this for a minute or so, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Well, sure. So Title VII covers discrimination on a number of factors, race, ethnicity, national origin, religion, et cetera, et cetera. And if you are a private employer over a certain size, or if you're a public employer like a school district, and you are found to be discriminating on any of those bases, then you are in violation of that federal law, and you can be held liable under that federal law. So that's yet one more thing that we pointed out in addition to the Constitution to Bremerton School District. Is, oh, by the way, there's this federal law that you could be violating if you do this. And so that's obviously another concern that Bremerton School District needs to be worried about.
You can join the petition at libertyinstitute.org that says this: Dear Coach Kennedy, I would like to say thank you. Thank you for your dedication to your faith, for your commitment to the positive education of our youth, for your military service, and for your courageous stance in protection of religious liberty rights for teachers and administrators. I was greatly alarmed to learn that Bremerton High School, there in Washington State, suspended you after denying your respectful request for religious accommodation to continue your lawful wholesome practice of giving thanks after football games. The Bremerton School District's actions violate the law and send the wrong message to young people, the surrounding community, and the nation, a message of hostility to religious freedom and intolerance toward personal religious expression. Please know that you are not alone in this difficult time. I support you and admire your courage. Our schools need more coaches like you, our country more citizens like you, and our world more people like you. Sincerely, and you get to put in your name, your zip code, your email address to support Coach Joe Kennedy online at the petition at libertyinstitute.org. Mike Berry has been my guest, senior counsel of the Liberty Institute, bringing us fully up to speed. I'm Adam McManus, inviting you to send me an email with your reaction to this particular broadcast as I fill in for Kevin Swanson. The email address, talkradioadam@gmail.com. That's talkradioadam@gmail.com. You're listening to Generations Radio.